ቢልቆጥ ለሆነ አይቼም ሆነ አጀንዳ which is our PRR the adoption of our PRR report with the understanding that we had to to have our meeting and immediately after that the report has to be formulated hoping that it has been members did receive the copy yesterday. I think it will be important that apologize for them for the report that members got it yesterday. It's just one of those circumstances beyond our control. What we will then do if all members do have their copies, we will then go through the report and which my understanding is that the report has got recommendations and there are findings and recommendations. We have got having said that, we have got we'll then deal with the introductions. For the benefit of those, I see there is only, for the benefit of the one person that is not part of us, so that he feels welcomed and at home. I will then, so you don't want to be known. No, we are to know who are you. Please tell us who are you.
Good morning, honorable members. My name is Mandla Zibi. I represent the Parliamentary Monitoring Group.
Thank you very much, Mandla. The disadvantage of being a minority is that when I call members, you then understand that the member that is to speak is Member X. But we feel welcome. Oh. We have got a couple of apologies. One, Ms. Kopana is unable, is due to prior arrangement, is not going to attend. Honorable Tembekwayo is already here. Honorable Sheikh Imam is attending police. Honorable Chafta is attending the mineral resources. There's something, I don't know, I'll check with the secretariat if we did manage to send something to Honorable Chafta during the loss of his child. Honorable Ndaba and Honorable Maisela are starting at the ad hoc committee for gender equality. Welcome, Honorable Wilson. You know, there are times like that, my darling, don't worry. There are times like that. I'll just request the secretariat to give you the document. Honorable members, the document with us, we are then considering and adopting the report on PRR. We will then start on page 1 on comments. If there are none, page 2.
Attention. Well, on page 2, well, you'll forgive me, Chair, because I was not present when this matter was dealt with. But I think it's not proper the way it is written. The annual progress report of the South African Health Products and Regulatory Authority, it can't be 2017-18 because during that financial year, SAPRA was not in existence. It only existing now in this financial year, which is 18-19. So if there is any progress around that, it can only be a progress for 18-19, but it can't be 17-18 because they were not there in 17-18.
That's a bullet from the bottom. Okay. No, I think it is correct. With that correction, if there is none, we'll move to page 3. Page 3. Honorable Mashari.
Well, on page 3, Chair, the last bullet on 2.1.2, the Operation Bagisa in the health sector was rolled out as part of the NHI pilot sites to build ideal clinics. I'm not sure how correct this information is, because my own understanding was that is that Operation Bagisa on Ideal Clinic was launched as a building block towards NHI. It was not focusing on the pilot sites. That's how I understood it. That it was not rolled only on the pilot site, it was rolled in its totality in the health sector, and therefore I don't think its main intention was for the pilot, but it was part of a building block towards the implementation of the NHR. That's how I understood it.
Any comments on that? Ms. Woman?
Thank you, Chair. Chair, I just want to clarify that this part is based on the President's speech during SONA, so we have to go back to the speech and actually clarify how it was actually said, because we just extrapolated this specific part for the health sector from that speech. Thank you.
Can I propose that if we can just, we'll come back to this so that we don't, if you are able to get the SONA, and then we'll then come back, we'll park that for now, because we don't have at our disposal the document you are referring us to. If there is none, we're parking that, we'll come back before we adopt page 4. Page 5.
Well, on page 5, I've got many issues on page 5. Well, one of the issues, Chair, is on number 4. I don't think the phrasing is correct, because the department and three of its entities received unqualified audit opinion with findings. I don't think it's correct because it's five entities that got unqualified audit with findings. And then it would have been better that it should be written that the department and five of its entities, then you mention them, that includes your CMS and Research Council. And then if you want them to reflect what has happened to the two, you then reflect that. But you don't say three, because you're creating an impression that is not correct. It's five entities that receive unqualified audit with findings. And then you can then go and say the AG has, however, indicated that two entities, that is your CMS and Research Council, have regressed, if you want to then qualify that, have regressed from unqualified audit with no matter, that is clean audit, to unqualified audit opinion and findings as reflected above. But to put it, one to know, is only three that receive unqualified fund. I mean, it is not. Then you come at the end, you say, no, the other two also has received unqualified. It doesn't make sense. So it needs to be rephrased. That's one. Then the other thing is the regression of CMS. In the Auditor General's report, it's not saying what is written there. The Auditor General's report, it says it was due to inadequate review of the annual financial statement by senior management prior to submission for audit, as well as non-compliance with laws and regulations. That's what the report of the AG says, what is the cause of that regression. If you read that report, it doesn't say, well, the issue of effective and appropriate to prevent the regulation, it's one matter, but that's not the main matter for regression. It's not what the AG says is a regression in that presentation. It does specify what is the cause of the regression. And it doesn't raise the issue of the ineffective and appropriate in relation to irregular expenditures, the matter. It says it's an adequate review of the annual financial statement by senior management prior to submission of the audit report, as well as non-compliance to laws and regulations. That's what it says.
Are you done? Any comments? Ms. Masalamba, do you have a copy? The copy on it's a pity that majority of members we don't have this on CMS. Although internal controls to detect the regular expenditure are in place, controls are not yet mature to prevent the occurrence of the irregular expenditure. The regression at CMS was due to ineffective and appropriate steps were not taken to prevent irregular expenditure for the procuring of consultants. if I understood Mr. Mahlalela well, is that maybe in this on CMS only one of those that were reflected by the Auditor General in as far as CMS is concerned. So are you suggesting that we put all of them as they have been outlined by the Auditor General? Here is the document. I hope you, Mr. Mahlalela. One of the areas have been identified. So if you're saying the second one must also be reflected, I think it that will be fine, because there is a document which speaks to what then the Auditor General said in terms of the CMS. That is why I'm saying if we are saying it, we are to reflect both those statements, I think that will be, I don't think that will be a problem. That's why.
Well, fine, sir, I was saying because it's underlined here in the presentation why they single out others and leave the others. But it's underlined, say CMS regress from 2016-17. Due to inadequate review of the annual financial statement by senior management, is underlined, even underlined in bold, where all of them, they explain why there's a regress, not singly out an individual. It's where all of them is reflected by each and everyone, why there was this one. So there's an underline moves from MRC, why there's a regress in MRC, why there's an improvement in OHC and all those matters. They are reflected there in the document.
No, I'm not disputing that they are underlined and reflecting. I was just checking that. Are you then saying as much as they have also reflected on the other one, it must also this, that review of the inadequate review of the annual financial statement by senior management prior to submission, that must reflect in the report. Is it what you are suggesting? Okay, we'll do that. Thank you. And we will then correct the department and five of its entities, and then having said that, then said the two have then gone, so that we don't give an impression that it's page 6.
No, on page 6, the second paragraph, Chair, irregular expenditure incurred by entities decreased by this to this financial. The main contributors of irregular expenditure is OHC incurring. I don't understand why they're saying is the main, because the highest contributor is NHLS at 597 million. And then followed by, I'm sure that one is the fourth one on irregular expenditure, EOHC. Because the bottom one, it's the MRC, and then Besesekuzale from the bottom. But the top one, that is the highest contributor in this 693 million. It's NHLS, which is standing at 597,783,000, and then the department is also even higher because it's at 73 million. The department, it's even higher than the 2.9 million of the Office of the Health Compliance Standard. If you can just explain with how what is the rationale, because I didn't understand it.
I don't think there need to be an explanation. Safe to say that that needs to be corrected. That if then the honourable member is saying we then have to table them correctly in order of their which one is contributing more until the one that is contributing less. That it then means, can I suggest that that paragraph we reformulate within the context that we have to reflect which is the one that is contributing more up to the to that that is contributing less, so that we are correcting the impression that we say the OHSC is the main contributor. So that's why I'm saying I don't think there's any need for explanation. Safe to say that let it then be corrected in that order. Are we in agreement, honourable members? Okay. Page 7.
Well, page 7, the confusion I have with the paragraph on top there is that the topic under it is provincial departments, but that paragraph speaks of the national department, if I'm correct. So if it's talking about the national department, then it's mislocated where it is placed, because the although even that provincial department just come from nowhere, just dropped in the middle of nowhere. It would have been better, I would say, maybe from 4, you would have said 4.1, then you say national department and entities. And then you deal with it. You don't also take that paragraph and put it there. Then you say 4.2, then provincial departments. Then it will then flow properly. But as it is now, it doesn't flow properly. So you're not sure what are we dealing with. Because you deal with the report of the AG, then in the middle somewhere provincial departments comes in. At the end, you talk about IT that has got to do with I'm not sure whether it refers to the totality of both national or provincial, or it only focuses on the national department. But according to the AG, the main focus was to test the IT system in the national department.
I'm trying to follow you. So you're suggesting that we have 4 and then we have 4.1, which is province. 4.1, which is national department and entities. And then 4.2 provincial departments, and then the information technology will then either be a 4.3, because it was at this presentation there was at least a report on information technology. Are we all following?
I think, Chair, that information on technology, it's a findings on the national department. So it must go to where we're talking about the national department and entity.
Okay.
That's what I'm saying. Not that it should be created on as a standing alone matter.
So that paragraph will go under 4.1, which is the national department, then 4.2, which will be provincial departments. Agreed? Are you following? Okay. So that was 4.6, which overflowed to 4.7. I'm sorry, to page 7. We are still on page 7.
Yeah, on the page 7, so, the last paragraph 1-2 under 5, the last sentence, the FFC stated that control of it should be COE, not CEO.
Which paragraph is that?
The last paragraph, the last sentence in paragraph 2. The FFC stated that control of compensation of employees.
Oh, COE. Okay. Right.
But I thought that we should also be adding an observation within that the FFC has made, which I thought is very key. Well, I was not there, but when I read it, the one that says the issue of compensation of employees should remain a key focus of oversight for future, should remain a focus area for oversight. That's what it raised. So that we don't just raise it for the sake of raising it, but also indicate that it should be a focus area on oversight because it's getting out of control. So it must then remain in order to make sure that you maintain the control. It should, the FFC was proposing that it should remain a focus area, a key focus area for oversight. They can go and look at the document. It does say that and phrase it properly as it is reflected in the document. But the other thing, Chair, that I was...
Before you move to the other thing, Are you suggesting, are you proposing that, because we are not yet dealing with observations, that must be noted as an when we were dealing with observations, we'll then have, come again?
That's what is in their presentation, what they have reflected.
What is reflected here is what the FFC has presented. What I'm saying is that they should include this issue that they've raised as a matter that we need to keep it as a focus area on the CEO. Then we can take it as part, after we've made it here, then make it as part of the recommendation, but having reflected on it here.
No, I am checking. Are you saying that must go under when we deal with observations?
I'm not on the observations. I'm saying as part of the issues that, isn't that we're dealing with the presentation of the FFC? I'm saying one of the issues that they've raised in their presentation, which I think we should not lose sight of, that we must include in that report, is the issue that they've raised that they should, that the issue of CEO, of COE, man. The issue of COE must remain a key focus area for oversight. That's what I'm saying. So that we don't lose sight of, so that even if we make recommendation at the end, we must make recommendation on the basis of the presentation, having reflected in the presentation that they've made.
Okay. I hope you have Page 8.
I was still on page 7. She was at an email and
Okay. Sorry. Page 7.
Well, just a clarity, I was not there. You'll assist me to understand why FFC decided to make a comparison on the OE of 2015-16 instead of 16-17? Why they decided to make a comparison on the on 15-16 instead of 16-17? I'm raising this in the context that because there is a figure for 16-17. Why they decided to choose? I know that's what they did in the presentation, but I'm not sure whether you have asked them why they chose to make a comparison with 15-16 instead of the previous financial year, so that we're able to track the trend properly, rather than tracking it with 2 years back instead of a year back. Was there any reason given?
That was not asked.
Well, that was not asked. Okay, thanks.
Are you still on 7?
I'm done.
8?
No, on page 16, 7.1, I would have preferred the situation where you specify, you don't become general, that is the Office of the Health Standard Compliance is established in terms of Section 77 of the National Health Act, so that you don't say, just say in terms of the National Act. Health Act, but become specific which section of the Act does that, and that is Section 77.
Okay. All right. Page 17. Is that as you have done in terms of the Office of the Health Standard Compliance, even on OHO, you put that either you write it in full and put HOO in brackets for consistency. I think in all the abbreviations, put the thing in the whole in full as you have done here. That's why I'm picking it up. So in ever, for instance, even if it's I think you understand what I'm saying. page 19.
Well, on page 19, well, it's a debate. I was not there, but I'm not sure whether this narrative is a correct narrative. And I'm not sure whether you did accept that narrative from the office of the ombuds. When a narrative is made that a Parliament is the one that has failed the office, because that's what it means. That's what it means. I'm not sure whether you have accepted that narrative, because you are putting it here, that as Parliament, as this committee in particular, we failed the ombuds. That's the implication of it.
Sorry, I'm trying to get the paragraph that has got failed, or is it?
No, it doesn't say it failed, but that's the implication.
Which paragraph are you referring to?
The office of the health comes to say
from the beginning,
operated without capacity and budget, it has made it difficult for to impossible to perform its function. This is partly due to non-appropriated funds by Parliament. That's what it says. And I'm saying I'm not sure whether you've accepted that argument from the ombuds, because I don't think it's correct, that argument. You see? Because the National Health Act, yeah, doesn't say Parliament must allocate budget to the ombuds. The National Health Act says we allocate budget to the Office of the Health Compliance, Standard Compliance. And it further said, in terms of the support for the ombuds to perform its duties, is the minister, is the national department that must provide the necessary support to ensure that the ombuds perform its function effectively and efficiently. And Parliament has allocated money to the Office of the Compliance Standard. How then the Office of the Compliance Standard gives money to ombudsmen or health ombuds? It has got nothing to do with Parliament. And for that matter, interestingly, on top there, the second paragraph on top, it says, the second paragraph, the entity reported a surplus, that is the Office of the Compliance Standard. It has reported it in a surplus, but there is an ombuds who is part of it who complains that no, it doesn't have a budget. How do you compile, how do you reconcile the two? And the worst part, which somewhere as well, the very same office, that's why it's confusing, the very same Office of the Oil Compliance Standards, in program 3 on page 18 and program 4, they're saying they could not perform some of the function because there's a shortage of human resource. But one is surplus. How do you have a surplus and come and say, no, you are unable to perform function because you have got a shortage of human resource because of the budget? I don't understand this logic. You see? Unfortunately, Chair, I was not there when we were presenting both of them. But it can't be correct for the ombuds to come and say, no, Parliament has failed to perform its function by not allocating its budget accordingly. And we are writing here, it means we are acknowledging that as Parliament we failed. That's what it implies. Is that our own interpretation and understanding?
Are you done? I'll start with the surplus and the issue of vacancies in the Office of the Health Standard Compliance that was raised. the committee raised concerns on that and impressed to the Office of the Health Standards Compliance. Two, it may be the writing. What key was raised by the Office of the ombudsperson was the thing that is best practices, and the unfortunate part now, okay, I think what I need to, because it is forcing us now to go back and try and justify our debate in the committee last week. What I think needs to be corrected here, it is the issue because this was not something that was standalone. It was within the context that we should then relook into, which was a matter. Unfortunately, all of us were not here in the previous term when the issue that was raised by the ombuds in terms of the legislation that governs that that office. Yes, that was put in within the Office of the Standard Compliance, but the debate arose that, in fact, we were, the issue fell off because there was then a decision in Parliament, the party that argued that was defeated. There must be the Office of the Ombuds must be a standalone. Can I suggest this? Because it's this, that.
I hear exactly what my colleague is trying to say. I'm just wondering if that should non-appropriated funds by Treasury and Department of Health. Because all the budgets for all the entities, which includes the Ombudsman, although he's independent, come through via Treasury and the Department of Health, not via the Parliament at all.
That's why I'm saying it needs to be corrected. Because on how it is tabled, it then, whereas in my recollection, that was in key among others, was the issue of the legislation. So we'll have to correct that. Either we delete or we suggest a reformulation.
I'll suggest that we reformulate, Chair, to reflect that agree that it's under budgeted, but not put squarely blame on Parliament. Put squarely blame on Department, National Treasury, so that, because that this is a budget review, that's what it's meant for. And then reflect on this conundrum of a challenge of the arrangement of the ombuds in the context of this law. Yeah, well, reflect on it here. What I saw in the recommendation, there is that recommendation, but it's nowhere where it is contextualized in the report. That the way how the National Health Act is structured is not. We've raised this thing last year to say we don't understand how this thing will work, and they also raised it, the office themselves, when we're demanding, which, where is the ombuds? You see, telling us, no, the EMBO is not accountable to us, and they are right. In terms of the legislation, not accountable to them. But the ombuds doesn't have a budget of its own, doesn't have a personnel of its own, everything is with the office, but it's not accountable to that office. Doesn't make logic, doesn't make sense. So we need to contextualize it in the report, so that we are able then to make recommendation that there is an urgent need to review this National Health Act to ensure that the health ombuds is properly restructured or constituted in the legislation, as opposed to how it is arranged now. Because there is a confusion in this. That's why even last year he could not provide a report. You see? And the law says he must provide a report. You see?
No, thank you. That's fine. I think everybody that was there will remember that the issue of the act of the legislation was strongly raised. It's only that the challenges then in the capturing. So we will have to rephrase that, and so that it talks to our recommendation. I think we have managed to capture. I'm just checking with the secretary the capturing of the debate in terms of No, thank you very much. Page 20. Page 21. Page 22.
Might have been presented like that by the office. But you say the following are some of the key constraints. Yeah? Then you say you need to detach from OHC for better reporting and functionality. So how does that becomes a constraint? A need to detach. It can be, that's a way forward on how to resolve the constraint. But it can't be a constraint. I'm saying it might have been reported like that, but it doesn't make logic. If it's a constraint, because this one is what is needed in order to deal with the constraint, to detach it from the Office of the Health Compliance Standards. That becomes the remedy for the constraint, which will be part of the recommendation, in my view. But we need to state what are the constraints. For it being part of the Office of the Compliance Standard. Then the other bullet also need to be separated from the office as part of the... How does it become a constraint? Doesn't read like a solution to the problem, but not a constraint. So I'm not sure how the Ombuds presented it. But if how it's presented, I don't know then how to manage it. But this is, we should list the constraint, then these issues have become a solution, which then we must make as part of the recommendation in the end. Because now there's a need to do 1, 2, 3 in order to deal with the constraint that the Ombuds find itself.
Can somebody propose a better, I'm just trying to... Mm-hmm. The following are the key
Chair, I think I want to agree with Honorable Mahlalela that this part looks like the solutions from the constraints that were raised, you know. But what needs to be done, I'm sure, let our staff members to check what was written in the Ombuds in the report first. If it's written like that, then that means it can be constraints, because the way it's written, it addresses the constraints that were there, that are there. So we must find a way on how do we capture it in our report. Maybe let's give them time to check the report first.
Honorable Wilson?
I think, and I hear exactly where everybody's coming from, and I agree with them quite 100%. But the changes are easy. Just for instance, the first one is not urgently in need for a budget. The challenge is appropriate budget in order to fulfill its mandate as per. It's literally a changing of simple words that changes it from a constraint into from a recommendation. The next one says need to be detached from the OHSC for better reporting and functionality. The constraint is attachment and reliance on the OHSC for funding and staffing. That's what needs to change. You need to change it from one connotation to another, and it's simple wording changes. We can do that in 2 minutes.
Can I suggest so that you are able to, if you can, not unless members want to do it bullet by bullet, if that separation is a...
If you can give me a couple of minutes, I'll change it quickly. Thank you, Chair.
Honourable Mason. Michelle, sir.
I don't look like Michelle. I'm darker than him. No, thanks a lot. No, I agree with she can draft that, but I thought as well the officials now understand the context, and therefore it's easy for them to reformulate it in the context in which we are making observation, but she can also assist them.
Okay, Honorable myself.
Now you see, it makes sense on the other side that the ombuds was complaining about not being able to work because of his dependence on the Office of the Health Compliance, Standard Compliance, and when we said that we should also rechange it. Now, these are the response to what was supposed to have been written on the other side about the even changing the law, the act itself to accommodate and separate the offices. And these are the recommendations of what would have been ideal, what would be needed. So when we fix it on the other side about amending the act, no? This would be the reasons why the act should be amended to accommodate this. Thanks.
If we're still on 21 with agreement, agreeing on the reformulation, 22, page 22. Page 23, page 24, page 25, page 26.
Well, on page 27, just my observations. I would have preferred a situation where, on the first bullet, these are the successes. I would have preferred a situation where we name those projects. Because if you say, no, the success is increased allocation, but you don't deal with the project, what has that allocation done? How do you classify increased allocation as a success without reflecting on the project as a result of that increase? I would prefer that situation, which is the result of this increase. These are the things that we're able to do. That becomes success. But this success, you have to tolimali. I don't think it's appropriate, but as I'm saying, I might be reading too much. The second bulletin generating and awarding 25 million self-initiated research grant during the reporting period. It will be better to understand where have they given these grants and what these grants have achieved. But we understand these are the successes that they've done. The implementation of the performance bonus. How does implementation of the performance bonus become a success story that we must report about? Because that implementation of the bonus should be informed by achievement in terms of projects as a success. Then informed by that, then you can then proudly say, no, this is what we've done. We've managed to implement. I don't know how they presented, because it was not there in the presentation. I'm sure you got it in their annual report. If they've written it in that way, then it's fine, but it's a problem. In future, they must list projects that they've achieved, not money that they've received. Because they've approved the budget.
We didn't ask the project.
No, I don't say we've asked the project, but there was nowhere where they reflected the success stories. They presented the achievement. There was no issue like presented corner, which one of their achievements is the growth in the budget as a success story. You see? I'm saying, what would have been better for us? Because we are reporting this for anybody when reading the report, because that report becomes a public report. So if somebody wants to understand what is that MRC has done based on the portfolio committee report, they are going to read these as a success stories. And what does it tell an ordinary person? It doesn't say anything.
What are you suggesting us to do?
I'm suggesting that we look into what are the projects that they've listed, they've been achieved in their report.
They didn't ask them.
Yes, because they didn't present it. But it's now reflected here in the report.
So should we delete it?
No, I'm saying we must get the project in the report that we have put this thing. It's good that it's here, but the information is not the correct one.
I'm asking again, what are we to do? Because first we didn't ask it in the committee so that we are able to question whatever we want to question. What should we ask them? This is not in the report. What are we to do? Should we then, on the basis of your queries and your concerns, should we delete it? Because it's not a report that is going to assist whoever wants to look into it. I'm asking these questions because to them, if issues were, they think that these were key success, we may have a different view. That's why I'm asking these two questions. But what is it that we have to do? Should we leave it like this? Is it a caution in moving forward? Or it is problematic? If it is problematic because it does not have any I don't want to say content, does not give a person a true reflection of their key successes, should we delete it or leave it as it is? As the sponsor,
most of the things that are written here, because your argument is based on the presentation that they've made. They've never spoken about how in the presentation. But it's here now in the press. It means they got it somewhere. I'm saying, where they got this somewhere, can they go and look, what are the projects? So that you're able, instead of writing about the figures here, we write the project that MRC has embarked upon. They must be listed somewhere in their annual report. That's what I'm saying.
They did say that they've got good labor relations by identifying how. I don't think it could have. Yes, they did. So that's why it is here. If you see, so I'm making an example, Honorable Mashela, because now if I'm listening, things that have been put there may have been things that were not raised by MRC, and questions were asked about their relationship with Labour. Again, what are we to do with this section? What are you proposing so that the meeting is not between me and you?
I said, Chair, I'm proposing that they should go into the annual report and look what are the projects that MRC has embarked upon and list them as successes.
Okay.
Not what is written here, because here what is written, you can't go in bold and say this is what we've achieved.
Okay, we will... I'll suggest in addition that we get the report so that before we leave here, we get those key successes and be read so that everybody is on the same par. Please, if there's a possibility to, if somebody can just organize that. If we're done, page 28. Page 29, page 30, page 31. Page 32, then we are, if there are no comments, then we are then on point 8, page 33, which is its committee observations. Department of Health.
Okay. Can just give me the font, because it When you start from 7.7, page 31, it seems as if that report is written somewhere, then pasted over here. That's what anybody reading it will find. It seems like it's being pasted, because the font is not the same.
From which page?
From page 31.
From page 31?
7.7.
Oh, okay.
So that this... The two pages from 31 and 32. One at the bottom somewhere, then you see a flower.
Okay. Our observations on the Department of Health. Any comments? Honorable Mason?
Maybe we should say disjuncture and no correlation between the budget and the annual plans.
That's what the member is saying. Any comments on that? It's bullet 1, 2, 3, 4. The second line.
And the second way, there should be no correlation.
I will agree. Any comments on page 33?
It's line who?
1, 2, 3, 4. It's line number 4, the second sentence. Page, we are still on page 33. Are we all understanding? Are we? Page 34.
No, thanks. I would have thought that although we're raising it, but we're not raising it, maybe in the context that I thought we need to raise it, it's for the debate. The issue of the foreign trained medical...
We are on page?
On page 34.
Okay.
The issue of the foreign medical trained doctor, the first concern, it's okay, but I thought we'll have to put an observation that there seems to be no coherent approach on the training of or sending of students for foreign training, for medical training in the country. That's why kuba nale crisis manje. When they come back, then it becomes a problem but they send them without even National Department knowing. And sometimes they send them in institutions that are not even recognized in South Africa. And that's why then it becomes a problem, because there's no correlation. There's no coordinated effort between, there's no integrated or coherent or centralized system. You would deal another issue of training of foreign medical doctors. That's why we ended up saying we'll agree with this thing must be centralized. We're not only referring to the centralization, we're not only limiting to the Cuban program, but the entirety of the training, because it creates that problem that will. So I thought we'll have to make that observation. I don't know how to phrase it, but I just thought that we must have something around the lack of coherence. So that we are then able to make a recommendation that we must then make sure that this training of medical doctors in foreign countries are centralized at some point, so that there's proper control and management.
Okay, Honorable Wilson.
Yeah, thank you very much, Chair. I think Honorable Mahlalela is correct. Even ourselves, when we were there in Cuba, you remember, Chair, they raised the same concern that in terms of provinces, the
support... No, sorry, can I just correct? I think he is not specifically talking about Chukwudera, the foreign one. I would have thought that if you can just... Remember that the DG raised an issue about some of the countries that are, I'm raising that, I'm correcting you, because you said even their training is not of the standard. So it's not about Cuba, it's about, there are those that were sent to Russia, were organized by people that are not known, and the DG did raise the observation about how you, in terms of their qualifications. So I think that's what Honorable Mahlalela is raising. So it's outside Cuba.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. But still, Chair, if you remember the other concern that we had as the portfolio committee, it's that no one even checked whether those existing, where these children are taken to, are legal. Legitimate or not? I'm just adding that one.
Robert Wilson.
Thank you, Chair. I think I hear exactly where my colleagues are coming from. I think we need to separate two issues here. The Russian and Chinese students, there is no international agreement. Those training institutes and programs are not recognized by our Department of Health. There are no memorandum of understanding, so we do not need coherency there. The students shouldn't be there in the first place, and the provinces shouldn't have sent them there. It's not recognized by the Department of Health. I think that's the first issue that we need to be clear on, and Dr. Oren Moss was clear about that. In terms, and I hear exactly what you're saying, there is no coherent approach, not even by the provinces to our students in Cuba, and I think that is terribly concerning. I think the next bullet point tries to deal with that, because it says the lack of standardization of the program across the provinces. But I think we need a more coherent approach. We need to have a norms and standards about what provinces do. I like the word coherent, but I think we need to expand it a little bit. But in terms of foreign trained medical students, unless we have an MOU, unless we recognize those universities, unless we have a DIRCO agreement with those other countries, they are not recognized. There's no need for coherency in programs that we do not recognize, where children shouldn't be there in the first place. And the minister was clear. He says those degrees are not worth the paper they're written on. Thank you.
Maybe we should be altering the whole sentence or whatever, or putting it in new context, that maybe only the department should recommend and institutions and send students abroad for training, instead of just anybody sending students somewhere. Should be the department which will know which universities to send the students to in foreign countries, and how many and how long. So that's why then when they come back, they want jobs. Nobody knows who they are, where they trained, who sent them where. It becomes it's a loose type of thing which never happens in any country, but only in South Africa, where you can send your children anywhere. They come back and they claim they are trained. And when you say where, they say, you know, behind the bush, and it becomes a problem. Maybe we should tighten that control, especially with the medical students. Thanks.
Wilson.
Thank you, Chen. Going back to that presentation, I think this was, it was a very relevant point, and it was made by the minister himself. In this country, the medical training institutions, the universities, those programs, the final exams, the curriculum, and everything in this country is done by the Department of Higher Education. And I agree with the minister on this point, and it is my personal opinion, that what we should be looking at is moving the Cuban and foreign students program Department of Higher Education and Training, because that's where it belongs. That is what it is. They assess the curriculums. They monitor all of those kind of things. They are there to manage the higher education and extra tertiary education. And I think by doing that, we would eliminate a lot of the incoherency that my colleague is referring to. We did discuss it in the meeting. I don't know where it fits in here, but I think it's something that the committee should seriously consider as a recommendation. Thank you.
What Honourable Mahlalela was raising is something that how do we tighten the controls? Tighten the controls within the context that provinces are sending children. And I'm subject to correction. You are there. You are from provinces. I wouldn't know whether Free State has got an MOU with Russia. I'm making an example. And what is contained in that MOU? Now, if then we, through the National Department of Health, we have found that there are some challenges there when these children are coming back. I think so that we don't engage in that debate now, but we put in what Honorable Mahlalela was raising, phrase it, I'm trying to phrase it myself, that that this bullet, how then do we ensure that we tighten that? Because between now, as we are discussing, and tomorrow, there are students that are leaving to go for training. I'm making an example. So it's not something that is going to change tomorrow. But what is it that we are saying in this report for the national department and provinces, and to look into that? Because even ourselves, we've never been more vocal and ask provinces about their programs in sending children for bursary and for training, I mean, within the sector. So just to say, can we then come back to a proposal so that we will engage in this debate in an appropriate time when then we think that this really needs to be looked into? Honorable Mahlalela, your hand was up then. Honorable Ndaba, Honorable Ndaba.
Chair, I'm sure I'm agreeing with you in terms of how then do we capture it in our reports, the concern that we're having as the portfolio committee, as raised by Honorable Mahlalela, the uniformity of how then provinces come together with the national department to address this matter. But also, Chair, you know, I'm not sure if we want to disregard this bullet or not. But for instance, Chair, if you remember, the placement of foreign students or doctors, it was a question that was raised sometime in the House. And as the portfolio committee also, we do have a concern. Obuti, when these doctors are trained, whether they are in a Cuban program or any other program, how then the department does the placement? Whether it's nurses or whoever, even if it's Imam Allied or whatsoever, but I think this is one issue that we need to raise. I'm not sure whether we must leave this one as is and have the other one as another bullet that you want to insert in our report.
Can you suggest a reformulation of that, of this? Because I'm raising this that we are now bringing in issues that, which are important, I agree, but they are not within the context of this. On how do we then ensure that we put controls? And I am trying to sensitize members that let's not start by debating it now. There is going to be time to debate this. So that's why I'm coming back to the sponsor. That can he was saying he can't get can't think of a formulation now. I hope now listening to us may have picked up the...
No, I thought, Chair, the research and the content advisor, they've been listening to the argument, and they understand that when they were part of the discussion, when the minister and the DG was responding to this debate, they will be able to formulate something that will be raised as a concern and then put a recommendation. A recommendation we've agreed that there should be centralization of all training in the higher education. Well, this thing of federalism, I don't know where is it coming from, you see? Because higher education is a national competence, you see? Why provinces are taking over that national competence and sending students to training, it doesn't make logic, because you're creating a chaos for the country. Yeah, well? So that's the understanding that we thought we need to put in place. So I thought they will understand how to write it and put it in understanding the debate and the discussion.
Yeah. Can I suggest that before we adopt, we'll just want to listen to their demonstrate to us their formulation. We're stepping off this, honourable members. I think we have honourable.
May I add on to this?
And it's not appearing here, and we're still on foreign trained doctors. We raised concern about lack of counselling and preparation for students before they go to a foreign country. This was one of the biggest concerns we picked up in Cuba, if you remember, that these students are not counselled, they're not given guidance, they're not told about the country that they're going to, what the country eats and all of that kind of thing. I think that should be a concern. Thank you.
We have not yet discussed the Cuban, the report on our, and we didn't discuss that. It was just a things that were, should I say, by the way. So we can't raise it here. We will raise those issues in recommendations to our statutory report. If we have, we are still on 34, Honourable Adams, then Honourable myself. Mashallah. Is she on 33? She's on 34. Can you allow her to speak, Honourable Mashallah?
Thank you, Chair. On page 34, 8.2, the sentence, the committee observed that the OHSC received unqualified. Will it not be better if we put in a word of welcomes instead of observe in the first sentence? The committee of welcomes that the OHSC received. And also the third bullet, the committee observe, instead of using observe, welcomes that the long awaiting norms and standards. I thank you.
No, thanks. I will have thought that as part of the recommendations, or as part of the observations, we will raise the issues that the AG has raised and subsequently made them recommendations. It's written somewhere, but it's not lifted as observations. Well, in the AG's report, there's somewhere, even the issue of the IT, is there, it's fine. But there were issues that the AG raised, which were the issue of the consistency of continued annual financial statements that are not in order by national departments. Just that I can't remember where is it was. Where is the national final audit report? The AG, the issue of the management, what is it? The key controls?
Which page are you?
Project management implementations and what. I was saying there are issues that the AG recommended, so I would have thought that those issues, before we put them under recommendation, though they are not there in the recommendation, we then leave them as observations, we convert them as observations, and then from there we then subsequently put them as a recommendation to the end. The issue that he raised, that you raise on page 6, in the report, that the AG recommends the following, that those are the issues, there are three recommendations that the AG has made, that we will then absorb, we will then adopt them as our own recommendations, because they're saying that's what the committee must do. And then we then make them under observations. In the context of observation, then we convert them, then we put them into recommendations. That's one. Then the other issue is the issue of the FFC, the issue that we're talking about this, the observation on the COE, ne? Yeah, COE, and make an observation around that issue of the COE as raised by the FFC. Then make recommendations what needs to be done, because they are going out of control. But the challenge that we have, I don't know how we are going to manage it. They are going out of control, but there's a huge vacancy rate at the same time. Limpopo is 75, but you go to Limpopo health facilities, they complain about vacancies. I'm not sure whether there are no ghosts or what. There can be a possibility that you might have ghosts. You see? Most of them, most of the departments in the province, they are at 68%, 70%. But go on the ground, there's a crisis in terms of vacancies. The question is, what is it? Where is the problem? but I'm saying that we must lift it as part of the recommendation, the issue that the FFC has raised around COE as an observation.
I just wanted to honorable Adams on page 34 is that because we're dealing with observations, we will reflect on those as observations. When then we are then in the recommendations or in the remarks, we will then put what you are saying, that we welcome APCT. They will state they will reflect as observations. I hope we must not lose what Honorable Mahlalela is raising, because it is those two are not in our documents. So the AG and the FFC on our findings, and then we will then put the same as what they are recommending is also our recommendations as the committee. Page 35. Honorable Mahlalela,
if they on the office of the ombuds, if they can then take all those things that are written as what, by the way? Those things that we're arguing about. The constraints, yes. Raise it as observations. Almost all of them, so that we're able to make, some of them are there, but some are not there. So if you can just revisit it.
Honorable Maisel, are we in agreeing, honorable members?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Honorable Maisel?
The last bullet, 8.3, besides getting all those constraints here, this sentence needs to be corrected. The committee emphasized, instead of underscored, the need to educate communities on the mandate of the office of the ombudsman, instead of so as we delete, so as to cap the abuse of medical litigation, we delete that and add office of the health ombuds.
Are we in understanding? We delete as to curb its abuse on medical legislation, medical litigations. We delete that. We correct the underscore. The committee emphasized the need to educate committees on the mandate of the office of the OHO. That is in page 35. Any more? Page 36. Honorable Maisel.
You're on page 36.
Yes.
Last word It should be from instead of under.
On page
35.
Yeah, 8.5.
Okay.
Bullet 1.
Okay.
The last sentence is from instead of under.
Where is that? Can you read the...
The committee notes that we concern with that the corporations or suburbs are affected by the lack of
support
building to operate from.
Oh, okay. All right. The very first sentence, okay. Then we're on 36.
Yeah.
Honorable myself.
Sorry, I thought...
Continue.
Sure. 8.6, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 bullets. The committee was concerned about the lack of visible activities of the SAMRC. Instead of visibility on the ground.
Can you reread it?
The committee was concerned about the lack of visible activities of the SAMRC.
Agreed.
Okay. The next one. The committee raised concern regarding the non- correlation between the SAMR and Statistics South Africa's data on the leading cause of death.
Agreed.
Then the last bullet on that is that raised no concern that there is no
which you mean the very last bullet?
Yeah. Collaborations with
can I assist?
Yeah.
The committee raised with concern that there is no collaboration.
Yeah.
With Cuba,
yeah.
we delete countries like
yeah.
the specific
yeah.
that there is no collaboration with Cuba
mm-hmm.
on research agenda that will benefit the country.
Sure.
I thought that's what you want to say.
Yeah.
Okay. Agreed?
Then the last on that, the last 8.7, the last bullet. The committee noted that the AG identified, then there is that, you cancel that. Then you say identified the irregular expenditure incurred by CMS because the entity did not follow procurement procedures for the appointment of consultants instead of S, the entity did not. So it make better sense to say because
which bullet is that, sir?
8.7, the last bullet.
8.7.
Yeah. The committee noted that the AG identified that you cancel that. Then is you continue the irregular expenditure incurred by the CMS because the entity did not follow procurement processes. Instead of S, you add because.
Ramundaba?
Thanks. The same paragraph where Honorable Maisela is reading because, but I'm trying to read it again, whether S is relevant or because is relevant. And when I read it, the way they have written that the irregular expenditure incurred by CMS as the entity did not follow procurement processes for the appointment of consultants. I think for me, it makes sense because it doesn't fit in. I'm not sure, but I've tried to read it again and again. I'm subject to correction. I'm trying to read it. I think
what are you?
The way it's written, I think it's correct, Chair.
Well, the philosophers, that's the problem. Yes, what's that? Are you reading from the same document? You keep on saying the last bullet, whereas it's the second bullet from the top.
No, I say it's the last
It's the second bullet, yes. That's on page 36. Yeah.
On page 36 in the document, 8.7, my document, the committee reflected on concerns around the affordability of medical scheme and the role of CMC in regulating the industry. In the bullet, in the document that I'm having, the second bullet from the top.
Sorry, second, Chair. Second. Second, yeah.
The committee noted that the AG identify the irregular, the irregular expenditure incurred by CMS.
No, we are right to continue here in the room, but nobody will see that the document is all. I'm sure I think that the document is not the same. My name goes about the screen, it is not the same. But now I
really... Okay, can we then go to the sentence? There's a proposal that S must be deleted. There's another proposal that say no, S is correct. So that's why I'm saying philosophers must assist us here, because I don't want to come with another version that may create a confusion more. Honourable Will.
Thank you, Chair. That sentence actually doesn't make sense. And I think it is correct to say that the committee noted that the AG identified that the irregular expenditure caused, incurred by the CMS was as a result of the entity not following procurement processes.
As a
We are still on 36. Are we still on 36? If none, 37. And, okay, 37, 8.8. Now we are on 9, which then is what we are then recommending. 9.1. Why?
Which one?
For instance, no. We were on 36. I said we are on 36. We went to 37. 37 on top is CCOD. Then the next bullet, which is 9, is recommendations. No, no, you can't talk all at the same time, please. Is there a problem with the document? Because with the document in front of me that I was given by Umbali, on top it's 8.8. Which is CCOD.
Sorry, Chair. In terms of our documents, 8.7, UCMS has got 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 bullets.
It's six.
Six bullets.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
Yeah. When I was
OD. It's because it's 8.8.
No.
From 8.7.
Yeah.
When I asked, are we done with 8.7? Nobody commented. Identify areas in 8.7.
Okay, Chair, the next bullet, Chair, it says the committee raised concern regarding the AG's findings on SCM processes not being followed by the CMS. Yeah. So we are saying we must delete the other thing that is written there. CMS indicated that it was experiencing challenges. We must delete that one. I think it must end there.
Agreed. That's the third bullet on Council for Medical Skills. Are you still there? In agreeing, are you on another point, Honourable my okay.
The committee also noted that the AG highlighted material adjustment in the APP due to inadequate control and record keeping, leading to inconsistencies in the APP and annual report.
Yes. Can you repeat for their benefit? Can you be a bit slowly?
Also noted that the AG highlighted material adjustment in the APP due to inadequate control and record keeping, leading to inconsistencies in the APP and annual report.
Okay. I was still on Council for Medical Scheme.
Then the very next bullet.
Before that.
But what you said, I say, and what is written, it doesn't mean one and the same thing.
What are you saying?
No, I'm saying what is written. It's not meaning what is written here. Because it's saying the AG highlighted in the APP. Here it's saying due to record, which led to inconsistency in the APP and the annual report. These are two different meanings. And the AG was not auditing the APP, he was auditing the annual report.
So
we must separate the two. He was not auditing the APP, he was auditing the annual report. So you can't say the committee noted that the AG has highlighted material adjustment.
In the APP.
Yeah, he was not auditing the APP. He was auditing the annual report.
So what are you suggesting?
No, what I'm saying is that the committee noted that the AG highlighted material adjustment due to inadequate control and record keeping, leading to inconsistencies in the APP and the annual report. I don't think there's anything in wrong with the sentence.
Agreeing? We're still on Council for Medical Scheme. Any of myself?
That the registrar's position is not filled. That is in the CMS. You remember they said they said that the post is the incumbent is acting
and he has been acting for a long time. So why don't they see the post?
Are you proposing that we substitute vacant by remains?
The committee was concerned that the registrar position is not filled. Then we delete the rest.
Are we all in agreement?
No, Chair. Unless Honourable Mayisela contextualize what is wrong with this sentence, would that position remain vacant? What is wrong with it? It remains vacant, and there's no indication as they came and presented when are they going to fill it. So that's a reflection that we're worried. Because if you say the position remains not filled and end there, what makes it different than emphasizing that it remains vacant and there's no indication? And there was no indication as when the timeline, when is it going to be filled?
So are you suggesting that we leave this sentence as it is? Okay. We're still on CMC. Any comments? Council for Medical Scheme? Okay. CCOD. Any comments on CCOD in terms of our findings, observations? If we are happy and comfortable with that, we will now go come to Honourable Ndaba.
Okay, Chair, I think it's bullet number 2. The committee noted that there are challenges with the implementation of the compensation legislation as it cuts across 3 departments, health, labor, and mineral resources. I think, Chair, this one, I think we need to rephrase it. I will try to do it. And it reads as the committee noted with serious concern the slow pace of amalgamation between the relevant departments, namely mineral resources, labor, and health, in ensuring harmonization of the compensation legislation. I'm proposing that, Chair.
That's the proposal, Honourable Members. Are we comfortable? It's correct? Okay, thank you. So we're done with CCOD. Now we are on recommendations. The first is the department. Members will indicate if there are any bullets. Honourable.
Well, for me, Chair, it's just that I'm not sure of the value of this first recommendation, because it's year in and year out, and we don't get a joy in terms of what is it that is being done to address it. And we keep on repeating it without putting maybe a particular emphasis on it, maybe a particular new dimension into it, so that maybe I want it to be serious. Because you see, so I repeat, and you want to check and say, Tora, you said, Injalo.
Put a proposal.
Just a recycling of that learning. Is it not possible to create, to to be just creative and put something a little bit stronger.
Propose it.
I don't have it, but I'm just thinking loud that we can just think about putting something very strong about it. Because we can't keep on making one and the same thing, just recycling one and the same resolution without any progress. And without even any attempt to tell us what are they doing about it.
You remember that
day? It's possible that as we do that, maybe we're able to say, to put it in the context of what are the failures, the recommendation, deal with the failures for them to achieve the clean audit. It's fine, maybe leave it, but let's then deal with the failures and make strong recommendation on the failures that makes them not to achieve that. The issue that the AG has raised, those three recommendations, maybe they're going to address that. I'm not sure, but those are the issues that the AG is raising as a problem for them not to move towards that, though you will have heard the argument of the DG was that as long as this conditional grant, there's no way they are going to get a clean audit. That's the position that they've taken. But as long as a conditional grant, we must forget about them achieving a clean audit. That's literal that they're telling us. Yeah, that's what they said. as long as this conditional grant, we must not expect them to get a clean audit. That's what she said. But the other argument is that she was very arguing on issues of procedural that are there in the Treasury regulation, challenging the AG's report in a way, which for me was problematic. Though we didn't have time, space to engage her, but for me that was a problematic approach for her to argue. Tell us he's written letters. Writing letters doesn't mean that you are right.
But we didn't argue.
No, we didn't have the space of arguing.
Why?
The DG was responding to questions, and unfortunately there was no system in place to say, let's argue this debate that the department is raising. That's another weakness on the whole system, that you'll ask the question, they'll respond or not respond, and you don't have a way of saying, no, we don't think you are telling us the correct information, and argue back, though there's no such a system, unfortunately. Some of the questions they decide to answer, to respond, some of them they don't, and then we don't have a system to say, no, you have not properly responded to this, no, we don't agree on your response on the spot. It becomes business as usual. You ask, they respond. Whether you agree with them, it's fine. I thought it's where we don't agree with them. We'll have to remain, and reflect on that and said, no, we don't agree on what they said. Doesn't mean that we must debate on with them. But I thought when we're alone, after they've given whatsoever response, we must be able to say, no, we agree with them. No, we don't here agree with them. Because it doesn't mean that everything that they tell us, we must agree with them. If we are not convinced, that's what I thought, Chair. Thanks.
We didn't even ask the department because they had a process. They developed a process of work of asking the Institute of Chartered Accountants to assist them with the issues of how do they assist provinces, and unfortunately we didn't pick that up and ask them. Honourable Wilson.
I agree. That sentence says nothing. It says we're concerned. What we do. Our recommendations must be, what are we recommending? Not that audit outcomes move towards a clean audit. That's not a recommendation. That's a necessity. So I would propose that we change that to that ongoing poor audit outcomes are addressed or consequences for failure to improve are instituted. because that's the biggest fall down in the entire department, and this is what the AG and the FFC said. There are no consequences for failure. There's no consequences. And that goes to the next point as well, Chair, where it says assists the five provincial departments, Northern Cape, Limpopo, Northwest, and Mpumalanga, KwaZulu-Natal, to improve and maintain positive outcomes or take appropriate action to ensure compliance. Action must be taken. Our recommendation must be, what are you going to do about it? Or we suggest you do something. And there must be a consequence for inappropriate audit outcomes, for irregular expenditure, all of these kind of things. There must be a consequence. Just saying improve audit outcomes is a statement. It's not an action step. Thank you.
Honourable Mason?
I understand and agree with what Honourable Mahlalela is saying about just doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different outcomes. You know, the question of accruals, if we don't say, you remember we told them we are allergic to accruals and we don't want to get to the ICU because of accruals. We were telling them that we don't want them to come back again and tell us that the accruals are increasing. And they will keep on increasing because that's the only way they know how to work. And if there are no consequences, people have no incentive not to change. And we can't believe or wait for the Jericho miracle where they've seen the light and start changing things and doing them the way they should be done. But let's make sure that whatever recommendations we say here, whether we ask them or not, is our feeling that we are tired of doing the same thing and not improving things.
What are we putting in our report as the recommendation?
Chair, I think what we need to do is emphasize the issue of compliance, irregardless of what the DG have said, because, Chair, that's, for me, it's arrogancy to say, and it's ill-discipline, to say, for as long as there are grants, you must expect, you know, a person telling us up front that this is going to happen. It's wrong. But for us as the portfolio committee, we must emphasize the issue of compliance and the consequence management. Yes. Because, Chair, people can't get away with the matter. People will continue to do as they please. And they know, as the portfolio committee, because we don't have time, we can't engage on some of the issues that they're doing in the department, we'll keep quiet and say Merry Christmas, go home, it's enough. What is the purpose of us as the portfolio committee doing oversight? So we are recommending with the audit outcomes, there must be consequence management. People must be held responsible and liable. If those who did not follow, did not comply with supply chain management, they must be disciplined. Why should we leave them like that? They must be disciplined, Chair. We've been saying these things, all of us, for 5 years.
No. The DG was not saying it anywhere else. He said it in the committee. We were here. We didn't call him here to order. Now, we can't now. No, it's not about you. It's about all of us. It's not about you. It's about all of us. All of us, we were here. In the committee room, V457, when the DG raised that statement, none of us responded, and I don't think it is. We will be found as being insensitive if at that particular time we could have then said to the DG, no. Your statement is problematic. We are not taking it kind because it encourages APCD. I thought, and I'm humbly requesting it, when the department comes, It is, we can, we'll have to do that as members, but we will have, because I don't want us to be as we're saying, as Honorable Mashalela was saying, that we've been saying this over and over again. So the emphasis that is being made now is that there must be consequences. Fine. We are still on point one under the Department on Recommendations. Any comments on other matters in stepping down on this? Honorable Mashalela?
On number two, Chair, beside the consequence, I would have thought that, because we've always been writing these like this, so let's change it. Upule tuwa simchenche simpaile ngenyindlela. Maybe say, provide a detailed plan or strategy or mechanism, whatsoever, system. For the national department to ensure that these provinces moved out of the qualification to unqualified audit opinion. And then we then put a timeline. When are they supposed to do that? They maybe in the same context the AG has provided, which what it is that on a quarterly basis they must do, when they give their quarterly report. Because when they give their quarterly report, on that item, they always talk about annualized. Yeah? There's nothing on a quarter that they tell us about. Annual. Then now, we figure court, I mean, annual year, then we're in the same position. Because they are unable to tell us on a quarterly basis, what is it that they are doing to assist provinces on a daily basis to move away from this qualification? We only learn it at the end, so, because it was annualized then, and then they come back again, annualized, they failed, just that like that. You know? So if you can put a system that compels them to report on a quarterly basis to tell us what is it that they are doing on a quarterly basis to assist provinces to move away from qualified to unqualified audit. It's doneable, it is. Why these other provinces are doing it? It's not an impossible thing. It means it's doable. If Western Cape for the past 5 years has been able to maintain it, what is it difficult for the others to do the same? Some with a smaller budget, for that matter, than Western Cape or Free State. Yeah, but Mpumalanga, they've got smaller budget, but they're unable to do that. What becomes a problem? We must understand that. So they must give us a plan with Yina Bainza, because they can't keep on saying, no, well, we've chartered accountants. What is it, this chartered accountant that is put in place? What is a detailed plan that we can track on a quarterly basis, that these are the milestones that they are making on each quarter? Because audit outcomes doesn't come at the end. It's a process. On a monthly basis, each department is producing what is called IYM on a monthly basis. So in the IYM, we are able to track which, you know, we are going the right direction or the wrong direction on a monthly basis. So if they are having that plan, why are they not intervening? This we are not going the right way, and intervene and correct the situation. So that by the time the final audit comes, you've got a picture what is the audit outcome will be.
Thank you. So we are refacing bullet one and bullet two. Any other comments on 37? If none,
page 37, wait, no, I'll cover fun.
Come again? I'm sorry, we are on recommendation.
And there are two documents, the one in the morning and one of yesterday.
We'll use headings, recommendations. Honorable Wilson, Honorable Nkonzo, Honorable Mabank.
Thank you, Chair. The second last bullet on page 37, the one about increased funding for academic training to increase the pool of medical specialists. I'm not sure that that was the recommendation. There were concerns in that whole discussion about the fact that we have got medical qualified medical students already who cannot be placed. The idea was to increase funding locally to train people locally. I'm not sure that I understand where that sentence is taking us. We can't increase training, academic funding for academic training overseas because of the astronomical costs already. Can somebody give me clarity on that one? Because we need to increase funding for training to increase the pool of medical specialists. We actually need to increase the funding in the budget COEs to employ current unemployed medical training and specialists. Or are we talking about doctors who want to become specialists who have to go for further training, in which case it must be here in South Africa? I'm missing something. I just need clarity there. Thank you, Chair.
Can I put a proposal for the committee to consider? We rephrase increased funding for academic training. We increase funding for training of for the pool of training on medical specialists, professional nurses, and allied professionals within the sector. Can I get with the hands that have been up, Honorable Mabanga and Honorable Nkonzo, Honorable Mahlalet. There are hands. I'm saying as they will be speaking, they will reflect on that.
No, Chair. I think what I was going to say will not speak to the 9.1 recommendations. It will speak to systems and things to do in future, and for that reason I don't think I should contribute on this one.
Okay. Honorable Mabank.
No, thanks, Chair. Mine, Chair, it's on the last bullet where it reads that ensure that clinic committees are monitored and provided with training on their role and responsibility to render them effectively in provinces. I think, Chair, here we should add the hospital board by saying ensure that clinic committees and hospital boards.
Okay, so there are two proposals. Honorable Maisel, now you can respond to.
Good. Yeah, we have this problem of doctors not being placed because they don't qualify. They can only qualify if the registrars put them through. And we don't train registrars, so the system is collapsing. And it's only the provinces that can fund the training of registrars or who can give registrars post. So if national does not intervene in this, well, the system is going to collapse for us for sure. And what you've just said, that we have to increase the funding for those professional and specialists so that at least they can take the others through and qualify them. You can't send
doctors who just qualified into a ward on without a registrar to supervise them and take them through and hope that they are going to qualify. So the system gets stuck somewhere because of the provinces. They don't want to pay for the registrars. Thank you.
But I was expanding it. Not only registrars, it's professional, the entire nurses and allied professionals in the health sector. And Honorable Mapanga was saying instead of focusing on clinic committees, we add hospital boards. Yes. That's what he was saying. He said clinical, he said clinic committees and hospital boards. Are we done with Honorable Marshall? Oh, sorry.
No, thanks. I'm not sure what I'll say because I've got different document. I'll say what I'm talking about without referring to the bullet. Ensure the alignment and the accuracy of data on the on ideal clinic. I thought we must raise it in the context that of the OHC data, so that we don't just say ensure the alignment and accuracy of the data on ideal clinic. Contextualize it with the office of the health compliance standard. That's what I thought. That's the reason why we said there is no alignment. It's based on what the office says and what the ideal outcome says. Which then there's no alignment, and then the DG explained that no, they've realized that there's a problem, so we must then integrate that. And then the next bullet after that, the department, I'm not sure what does it mean, the department, national and provincial treasurer, what does it mean? The department, comma, national. If you can just clarify that. But I would have thought that we are saying the department and national treasury should not just assist, because once you say assist, you are not helping. Should allocate a... We must insist that they must allocate. Yeah? Should allocate a certain amount to offset the, as a process to gradually offset the growing expenditure on accruals. We must say they must allocate money, not assist. Because if you say assist, they are not going to let them allocate money, because that's the only way of assisting, is for them to allocate money so that to gradually offset these accruals and then start afresh on a clean slate.
So
Yeah, thanks, Chair. I think same on the same bullet that Honorable Masalelo was talking to, I think the third bullet, which talks about assist provincial departments, yeah, what we need to do, this, the second one, it's still talks to the second bullet that Honorable Masalela was talking to. But what I'm proposing, Chair, is for us then to list the things that you want us, so that we can make it one bullet that, rather than having two. Yeah? For instance, like to write what Honorable Masalela is saying, that national department should assist a provincial treasury to allocate money according to the way I present. But Mina, I want to list accruals, develop internal controls and instruments
to monitor and eliminate irregular, comma, wasteful and fruitless expenditure in reducing inefficiencies, rather than having two bullets at the same time. But if we write it as one, but list the other things that the Auditor General has mentioned with Report Tech, that will be much better. Thanks, Chair.
If can we just within the content of allocating money, because allocation of money is more focusing on accruals. Am I correct? Allocation of money is focusing on accruals. And then, if then we then said, and then they must then be assisted, if I assisted in the development of internal controls, blah, 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 the improvement of capacity, and but in terms of allocation, in terms of accruals, is that money is to be allocated, so that must be lifted. So it's in two parts. It's the allocation of money, and then in systems they must be assisted in putting systems on all the areas. I hope you have picked that. So funds, resources are for accruals. Then on systems, they must then be assisted to do blah, 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 blah. Okay? It's not blah, blah, blah. It's development of internal controls, monitoring and of to eliminate irregular, wasteful and fruitless expenditure, to improve capacity for planning and managing, to reduce pressure on COE budget whilst ensuring a balance in the filling of post clinical and administration and non-clinical. Agreed?
Yeah.
Page 38, Honorable Mashalel.
Yeah, then there is a matter that the AG has raised, which I don't see, where they're saying they must, where they were recommending that the department must give us a quarterly report on the consequence management.
Okay.
If you can just leave that thing and put it here. So that we, especially on the regular and fruitless and wasteful expenditures, because the fruitless and wasteful expenditure is increasing, but we don't get with what is it that is being done about. And the PFMA is very clear on what needs to happen, because you don't condone fruitless and wasteful expenditure. You recoup it to the person that has caused that. That's part of consequence. But we don't get an indication what is that the department is doing about it.
Okay, I think that has been captured. We're in agreement. Page 38. Honorable Mapanga, Honorable Wilson, Honorable Mashale.
No, thanks, Chair. On the first bullet, Chair, I just want to add value in this sentence.
Which first bullet are you referring to?
On 38, page 38.
Okay.
Ensure greater investment in IT personnel and infrastructure. I just want to add these words, Chair. Ensure greater investment through intense training in IT personnel and infrastructure. Through intense training and in IT personnel and infrastructure is what I just wanted to add, Chair.
Yeah.
So. Thank you. Honor, are we? Yes, it's a committee. Honorable Ndab, lift up your head and say you are agreeing. Please. Honorable Wilson.
Thank you, Chair. I don't know if there's any further discussion on that point, because I actually want to move on to two other points in that same section. The one is the third bullet point, which says improve on patient care and experience in order to address the increase in medical legal claims. I'd like to build on that sentence, to say improve on patient care experience and appropriate staffing professionals in order to address the increase in medical claims. One of the problems there is the professionality and, you know, appropriately staffed facilities that are leading to medical claims. And the one after that is the, I don't know if you want to deal with that bullet point first, Chair, because I've got a question, I've got a proposal on the one after that as well.
I just want to sensitize members that plenary starts at 2, ne? As long as you're aware with, on that, on the, our pace, plenary starts at 2 today. So there's a proposal on adding improve on patient care, experience, and staffing.
Appropriate. Professional staffing.
Okay. Are we in agreement with that?
No, I thought we need to add record keeping for the other problem that is creating medical legal claims losing. It's because the records are a problem. And because of lack of records, government end up losing cases because there are no records. If they, and the system, how the record system is a big, big problem.
Your hand was up on, is it still on the on?
On the next bullet around the issue level that we're debating around the issue of the foreign training doctors, but I heard Wilson wanted to come in before that.
Wilson.
Yes, again, Chair, I think the sentence is badly written and I think we need to clarify what we're trying to say there. So my proposal is we change that sentence to read, engage provincial departments sending students to foreign countries for medical training and ensure that they are appropriately supported when their studies are completed. It makes far better sense. It's far better English. Thank you.
That's the proposal of rephrasing. Honorable Mashalela, your hand was up. You will also speak on the...
Well, in addition to that, we must then go back to the coherent issue that ensures that it is coherent on the training of foreign medical doctors by ensuring that it is centralized so that we stop the process of provinces sending students willy-nilly anywhere in the country. But they must stop somewhere, and we must come up with a solution to stop it, so that everything gets centralized. And then, what they've done, we're saying let them be supported because they've started, they're already there. But going forward, we need to stop that thing because it's creating a problem for the country.
We're agreeing. Okay. Office of Health and Health Compliance.
Is it possible to be specific and don't become general? Sorry, late. The appointment of the board chair and then now we must put a timeline. What is the problem? I don't know whether there was an indication what is the problem. Because there are board members there. What is the problem in appointing the chair? Why Mzali didn't appoint the chairperson?
And unfortunately we didn't even ask the minister. That was the acting chair of the Office of the Health and Compliance. But can you suggest and propose the time frame?
No, let's say before the end of this financial year, there should be the chair.
Okay. Before the end of the financial year. Great. Anything on the Office of the Internet Compliance. Honorable Wilson.
Simply to add, the review the legislative framework and budget establishing the office, because the biggest problem there was the budget constraints. Thank you.
Agreeing. So that is the Office of the Health and Compliance. Are we... Honorable Mashaya?
No, I'm saying what she was dealing with is 9.3, it's no more 9.2.
Oh, sorry. In the report, there's an issue that has been raised that the shortage, should I say shortage of staff, what are we saying in terms of out that they must, that they said they can't be doing, I'm just trying to get a correct phrasing of the challenges that they are having.
I thought we'll also raise the issue of the budget, because the review doesn't automatically makes it I thought we, because they raised the issue of their attachment to the Office of the Health Compliance and that review the legislation establishing the office with a view of detaching it from the Office of the Health Compliance and remain independent in line with the international practices, what. That's one. But the other thing then, that is not going to happen overnight, it's a process. But in the process, allocate, it doesn't stop them to allocate the budget. Provide in the process, we then say, in the process, then we say the national department, together with national treasurer, should provide the necessary funding for the office in order for it to perform its function effectively and efficiently in the process while we are reviewing. Because legislation, we review Wednesday, about 2 years or 3 years, then in the process, they will still not be performing because there's no allocation. But if we can then say the department and national treasurer must allocate sufficient budget for the office of the ombuds in order to perform its function effectively and efficiently. That's what I was thinking.
Honorable Wilson?
If I can assist there, because as you were talking, I was formulating a sentence, and I've written here, review the legislative framework and establish a budget for the office so as to assure its autonomy and that it begins to discharge its mandate as a regulatory institution with appropriate staffing and detached facilities.
Honorable.
By the way, while we are doing this, we mustn't forget that we need to detach it and make it Chapter 9 institution with the review of legislation, right?
But we. It's a long term. It's a long term.
We have to start now to have the idea of growing in our mind that long term,
this is the age. All right. Please, in line with it. National Health Laboratory Service, Honorable Gonzo.
We say develop internal controls, but at the same time we link that with ensuring that the supply chain management policies are complied with in order to reduce inefficiencies. I'm not sure, but that would be my proposal.
How do you want us to take your proposal that you're not sure of?
Huh?
If you say, no. I am not sure, put your proposal for confidence.
Well, I must take the I'm not sure of away and say, combine the two bullets in one bullet.
Okay. Agree? Honorable myself.
But we say sometimes we believe a lot of what they tell us, which are not aligned. We know they were telling us that the provinces are not paying and all sorts of things. There is this problems with money from the provinces. Only to find that is factually not exact. And
sorry, it's not them that they were telling us. It's the FFC. They corrected that when they responded. They said, no, no, in fact, we have done. So I'm just correcting you. They were responding on what the FFC told us. And when we raised that thing, they said, no, no, this is what we have done with KZN and Gauteng. It is in that context that we then said it will be important for them to seek an audit, as much as FFC is an independent institution, because we can't be getting, because even the South African that research had the same thing. Even the department at some point said that they were raising issues. So I'm just trying to correct the honorable member. It's not them, it's another entity.
We need all these entities to report on a quarterly basis so that, you know, we don't find that they have squandered all the budget and they have done half of the targets that they wanted to do.
Where are you now?
Hmm?
Where are you in which?
No, I'm just emphasizing the issue of quarterly reporting in all these entities. Thank you.
Okay, sure. National Health Laboratory Services, are we still there? Okay, if we are SAPRA. Honorable Adams.
Thank you, Chair. SAPRA, first bullet, ensure that a fit for purpose building is secured in order to improve the functionality of the entity. Can't we put in suitable and remove fit for purpose? I thank you.
Do we have a problem with that? Ensure that the suitable building is secured in order to improve the functionality of the entity. If we don't have a problem, any comments on SAPRA? Which will take us to, SAPRA takes us to page 39. Because they've got three bullets. The last bullet is over. Lapping two. If there is none, South African Medical Research, Honorable Ndaba.
Sorry, my apologies. I was still reading here. Yeah. I think that NHLS, Chair, there's something that I want to add. Ensure improved transformation at career passing, a recruitment plan, and at a senior management level. I don't think, Chair, there's a need for me to motivate, because, you know, all of us were there when they were presenting and we raised issues with regards to their recruitment strategy, the high rape failure rate, and so on and so on.
So that's an addition. Okay, agreed. Okay, South African Medical Research Council. Any comments on South African Medical Research Council? If there are none, can we go to Council for Medical Scheme? Council for Medical, Honourable Dava, Honourable myself.
Chair, I think in terms of the audit outcome for all the entities, what I don't know whether it was Honourable Masalela or it was Honourable Maisela that was talking to time frame and also the plan on the corrective measures that they are going to implement in terms of addressing all the things that the AG have raised. I think we need to put in all of them the issue of a time frame and then coming to the portfolio committee to provide us with the progress report. Where there's need for consequence management and accountability, then they need to come back to the portfolio and give us a report in all
if,
of them.
If you're talking about time frame, sorry for that, propose the time frame.
I think Honourable Fisher, Honourable myself was saying, Kotali, I don't know.
We are in a portfolio committee meeting.
I'm supporting Kotali, Chair.
Honourable Gons. Honourable myself.
I think SAMRC. The first three bullets could be worked into one, you know. They've got these similarities, and maybe they are almost saying the same thing, unless for the sake of emphasis, we want to leave them like that. But I think they could be collapsed into one.
You know, the problem is that if you think, put the phrasing. So that people who are taking minutes are able to
develop an action plan to address findings of the AG, okay, and in the regression the findings of the AG resulting in the regression of the audit outcomes, and develop internal control systems to monitor monitoring and evaluation in order to eliminate irregular expenditure and to make sure there is compliance with supply chain management and procurement policies.
That's the proposal of how we combine the three bullets.
In the end,
So what are you proposing?
No, I see you again, man. So I emotion accent.
Okay.
I call in the emotion.
Okay.
So because I emotion loot.
Yeah, that's what I say, unless for the sake of
Yeah, ngoba emotion as asiye ke if ngayamosha then we will have to change it, but I don't think it's I raised my hand here on the CMS. I was saying that there is this bullet which is the vision of the CMS, the affordability. So I thought you will make recommendations on it, but if not, you have made an observation, but there's no recommendation. What is it that needs to be done? Because as you recall, we raised a concern about the affordability of medical schemes in the country. So I don't have a wedding, but I thought it's a matter that we need to come up with something to deal with the issue of affordability. Because we raise it as a concern. It is also their concern equal. That's why there is a huge reduction on people becoming part of the medical scheme. Not because people doesn't want to be, but because of the affordability problem. You know? So what is it that you think needs to be done? I don't have a specific proposal, but some we need to see what does that need to do to make sure that we address that concern that we've raised as a matter is a concern on affordability.
As much as the matter was not raised, I'm just thinking that don't you think that the process of the bill. I'm saying I didn't raise when they raised that thing, but the process of the bill, the amendment of the medical aid bill, is it not going to address, among other things? Come again. So what are we saying, Honourable Wilson?
Chair, again, I think there's two things to look at here. There is the bill, which is outstanding. This is the Council of Medical Schemes that is there to oversee the practice of medical schemes. But people's like Discovery, Federal Health, all of those are independent medical aids. And I don't know how far we can dictate to them what the costs of their medical aids are. They're private organizations. So I understand that affordability is the cost. Affordability is an issue. The other issue is, of course, is that thousands more people have become unemployed and who can no longer afford medical aid. But I don't know how far we as a committee can make recommendations on the affordability when they are privately owned entities. It's just a point of clarity. Thank you, Chair.
No, Chair. The vision of the CMS is to ensure affordability. That's their vision. So how do you ensure visibility into that private sector if you can't intervene? That means they've got a mandate to intervene. They can't come up with a vision on a matter that is not in their competence. Their vision is to ensure affordability. And they acknowledge that a medical aid scheme is not affordable. That's a reality of the situation. And therefore, something has to be done about it. And then as public representative, we can't say no, we're helpless because this is privately managed and privately owned. And therefore, why then the CMS exists as a public institution? It exists to protect the consumers. That protection includes affordability. You see?
I don't think that is being contested. Now what I'm humbly requesting members, if there's a feeling that we must put it under our recommendation on CMS in terms of their role, what What is it? How do we craft that? Encourage
Chair,
them.
Sorry, can I add on then to that as a recommendation that we call the medical aid schemes to Parliament? They must show us, they must be able to show us, they're obliged to show us why these schemes are so important. What is their cost versus what they're making? Because we don't have an understanding of that. And I think that must be the recommendation, is that we get the medical aids, the discoveries, the big medical aid schemes into this committee. And they must explain to us why they're so expensive. Where does that money go? What is it funding? What are they doing? Are they above general schemes? It's just, it's a thought. I just don't know how far legally we can, we actually cannot dictate to them what their costs are. We can negotiate and we can interact and we can try and meet a middle solution, but I don't think we can dictate to a private organization what their costs are.
What is it that the Council for Medical Scheme must do in relation to its role and its mandate? Honourable Maisel.
Yeah, I think the NHI will solve that problem.
No, Honourable Maisel. No, no, I want to, sorry for that.
No,
we can't go there. What, yeah. What is it that the Council for Medical Scheme must do in terms of its mandate? We're not going to go now in the recommendation. What is it that we must tell the, what is it that we must recommend to the Council of Medical Scheme?
We discussed with them when they were here that they should try to influence the medical schemes and try to prepare them for NHI, because the medical schemes are sustained by the number of the people they have. The more people they have, the more affordable they become. The less people they have, it's like a lotto. The less they have.
Honourable members, please. If we can't find a proper formulation on what else we putting in the report that the Council for Medical Scheme must do in terms of the high cost of the unaffordability of medical aid. If you say the debate you are putting, it's not going to assist us here. Please, I'm honest about it. Honourable Ndaba, Honourable Maisele, and then we'll, if we don't have, Honourable Ndaba?
No, Chair, I was saying to Honourable Maisel, what is the problem of them regulating Ilokuja?
They are.
Actually, they are responsible for IWAMA regulations. Or they are not. I'm not sure. Okay. Marafana gets not this.
Honourable Maisel, don't give medical aid, this is up.
Please, I love baby.
Honourable Maisel.
No, no, Chair. I wanted to say maybe what we need to do is to say, recommend that the CMS provide us a detailed plan on how to ensure that the medical aid scheme becomes affordable. So they give us a plan. What is it that they are doing? Because that's their vision, is to ensure affordability. What is it that they are doing? A plan that they must then to ensure affordability of the medical aid scheme.
Okay.
So we get to say, are they going to achieve that vision or not? Because they can't put a vision on something that they don't have control over.
Can I, we almost close to 15 minutes. It's an area that we've got different views on. But that, because truly and honestly speaking, they are the people that are to tell us what is their plan. Because they are the people that has been given a responsibility to be looking into the whole issue of the medical schemes in South Africa. if they can't do that, if there's fine, can we agree that with it? Because I think this recommendation is really assisting. Otherwise, we'll be going from this side, and we'll because clearly Honorable Wilson has got a disagreement on that, because he feels that medical aid can be, I don't want to use the strong words, that they can't be dictated to. No. And so can we please agree that we will take that, and at an appropriate platform, we will argue our view on the matter. Agreed?
Comes here.
Yes, then we'll
argue.
Yes. Comes, CCOD? Now we are on CCOD. By the looks, then that was the last. I want to propose that we Honourable Mashale.
I want to propose here that as the end, we indicate that we expect the department and or entities to provide quarterly progress report on this recommendation. That is, when they come and give quarterly report, the first item must be their progress on this recommendation, so that they're able to track them, because we table this thing, it disappears. But if we can say, you know, every quarter when we call them for a quarterly report, the first item, I don't know how you phrase it, so that they understand it, the first item should be progress report on this issue, so that we're able to know. Well, some of the things we know, they get attention to Treasury, and they get reported in February by Finance. But there are issues that require the department themselves to report.
Before that, can I propose a new 9.9, which talks to progress, but that the committee welcomes the long-awaited norms and standards which are proclamated, promulgated, and are coming into effect February 2019. Proposing a 9.9 with that. And then if there is an agreement, then we put then the what Honorable Mashalela was raising. Can I get an indication? Honorable Ndaba?
We agree, Chair.
Okay.
Well, 9.9.
And then and a 9.10 is what
9.10
is what Honorable Mashalela was saying. Agreed? Honorable Mashalela?
No. Mine is not the 9.10. It was not the recommendation.
It's a statement.
It's a statement, yes. It's not a recommendation. So it can't fall under 9, because from 9 is recommendations. So anything that is got to do with it should be, yeah.
Even my proposal is a standard law.
Yes.
Okay. So we'll attend to those.
I think to CCOD, there was an issue, illegal support. You remember on the other side, Chair, where we proposed that there is a need for amalgamation of the three departments and so on and so on. But there was an issue where we said some of the things they cannot do it as CCOD. The national department is the one who is responsible for it. No, I'm thinking.
Can Can I propose that we said we because it's going to be the second time, we encourage the National Department of Health to, should I say speedily, to encourage the National Department of Health to ensure that this legislation is harmonized, working together with the Department of Mineral Resources and Department of Labor. And I think we must put time frames now that within the, because if we don't do that, this thing is going to be left hanging. With that, can I get with those amendments, corrections? Can we get a mover? Oh, you'll use the mic, Honourable Member.
Move that we adopt this report as it is with the amendments.
You move as who?
I, Dr. Maisela, move that we adopt this report with the amendments made.
Can we get a second? Honorable Nkonzo.
Aye. Mbulelo Nkonzo. Support second. I second the adoption of the report with amendments as is. Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Members. Come again? Oh, no, not there. Thank you, Honourable Members. Honourable I thought you wanted to speak. I'm wrapping off what said before. I'm not going to wrap.
What I meant to say was that we agreed sometimes or that we must call the other departments and have a joint sitting about this.
Are you proposing that we ensure that we had a joint sitting between these three departments so that we address this issue of the CCOT? Okay. Thank you very much, Honourable Members. We've come to the end of our meeting for the day. The plenary starts at 2. Thank you very much until we meet again.
Doesn't guide for one final report, yeah, because, well, thanks.
So, and this is in the public.